I love worshiping with you. I love that we get to be together right now at Christmas. I love that we get to do that. I love, just understand this, that we get to, just before Christmas, just before the big day, we get to be together and celebrate the whole reason that we come together. And so I'm so glad that you're here today. Some of you, this may be the last time we see each other before Christmas. This may be the very last time, and if it's the last time, I just want to say Merry Christmas. I want to say, I just hope you have a great day with your families. I hope it's everything that you wanted the Christmas season to be. Now, I'd love for you to come to that Easter, the Christmas Eve service. Like Amber said, I'd love for you to be here, but I get it. You got family, you got travel, you got traditions, it's fine, but we would love to have you here Christmas Eve. Now, I want to say hi to another group of people. All you kids, you're never in with us. Kids, can you raise your hand, shake them out, be a little crazy? Can I see the kids? Yeah, that's the oldest kids I've ever seen. Okay. Yeah. I love that you're here. Kids, I love that you're here. I love to be reminded on days like this that the church is bigger than us just boring adults, all right? I love to be reminded the church is all of us, that we need you to be part of First Wesleyan. So I'm so glad you are here today. Now, we've been looking at Christmas from the vantage point of Christmas songs and Christmas stories. Stories and songs that have been passed down from generation to generation. Now, the first week we talked about, I heard the bells on Christmas Day. We talked about having peace in the midst of chaos. I know there's been parts of this Christmas season that have been very chaotic for you. You may still be living inside of that chaos, so that's why we want to talk about, to begin the whole Christmas season, you can find peace in the midst of your chaos. And then the next week we talked about O Holy Night, and how a weary world rejoiced in the coming of Jesus because the soul felt its worth. And some of you, you may just be weary in this season. You needed to be reminded that you can rejoice in all that Jesus did in coming. And then last week was less a reflective, like, look what we have in Christmas. It was more of a call to action with go tell it on the mountain. This idea of using our lives to broadcast all that Jesus has done and is doing in our lives. What's he doing through our lips, our lives, our love? This using our life as a mountain. That you have the opportunity to broadcast the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. I hope it's the greatest thing that's ever happened to you. And I hope we're doing that. So today we move on to our last song and we move on to our last story. And with that being said, I've got a story. Now, I've been here 15 years, so a lot of the more stories and me stories, some of you have heard them, but there's a lot of new people here today. And so I want to tell you a story that leads into today's song. It was 2004. We had not even moved here yet. Amber and I had not thought about moving to Tuscaloosa, Alabama. It was not in our mind. We were living in Buffalo, New York. Life was good. Things were good. We'd been married for 2-3 years. We were really happy. Then one day we got some life-changing news. With one test, Amber and I looked at each other, and our family was moving from 2 people to 3 people. Amber was pregnant with little baby Ellie. Ellie is not so little anymore. But she, at one time, this baby that we had not even met, Amber, is pregnant with her. Now, this is our first experience. This was our first experience. So everything was a big deal, right? So the first time Ellie kicked in Amber's stomach, she tells me about it. And it's really cool because it's like, oh my goodness, this baby, it's almost becoming more real. We feel it. And the first time I got to put my hand on Amber's stomach and feel that kick. To feel that Ellie was really there. It was just a big deal. Well, the day came, we'd really know it's real. Because it's time for Ellie to join this world. And so there we are in Buffalo, rushing to the hospital. But it was a long day. I won't say that Ellie wasn't a little stubborn entering this world. Because about 15, 16 hours later, the doctor presents Ellie to the world. And I see this little girl for the first time, and some of you know the first words that I said looking at Amber. I said, Amber, we've got a cute one. And I don't know if that's something I was nervous about. I don't know if it's something that I didn't know, because, like, are all babies cute? I'll leave that for you to decide. But I think my baby was cute. I thought we got a cute one, and this child of mine would change my life forever. And I didn't know what that meant in that moment. I didn't all know what all that meant. But as time, you know, kind of slowed down a little bit, or we at least got to go home and reengage with life, I got to spend moments with Ellie, and I couldn't believe that this child was mine, that I could love and I could experience. It was incredible. Now, obviously, I tell this story because we know what today is. And I see some things that happened with Ellie in her birth, with the birth of Jesus, because we know what this season brings, a reminder of Jesus' birth. We know the baby is coming, right? Like, we know this baby has changed our life forever. We know it. Hear the word when I say we know it. But can I ask you today, as we sit here 3 days before Christmas, has it really sunk in? Has this idea of this child that is coming really sunk in? Has it moved past a knowledge into our whole being? Are we still moved by this story that's so known? Or does it not captivate the depths of our heart because of that awareness? There's a guy that you've probably never heard of. He struggled with this idea that knowing it but not really capturing us. His name is William Chatterton Dix. William was a manager of an insurance company in Great Britain. But people that knew him well, and it's written that his true love was poetry. Well, life was perfectly fine. Life was great. William had been married for about 2 years, and life was good until one day in 1865, he got news of a critical illness that was about to take over his life. And a deep depression started to sink in over the next several months. And he had some decisions to make. What do I do with my life while this illness is taking over and I'm hitting depression? He decided, I can't get out of bed. I can't get out of my house. But I'm going to dive deep into the Bible. And while this was good, the reality was his life was getting worse. He was potentially coming to the end. He didn't know what his future held. But he read the Bible for countless hours. And he said at one night, at its lowest point, something happened. The reality of the Christmas story just hit him. Just right in the face, say right in the soul, in the heart. The reality of Jesus' birth just took over him. And all of a sudden, things began to change. See, the reality of Jesus' birth had been known, but it hadn't really grabbed him on a deep level until that night. And as it hits him, he says, this is when he began to think and write the words we know now to the song, What Child Is This? On his deathbed, potentially, in a deep depression, a reality of Jesus and his birth struck him. And what came to him is using that wiring of loving poetry to write the words to What Child Is This? It became so popular, it just moved around the world. It became even bigger than his own country, Great Britain. It moved to America, it moved into Europe, it moved in all, and people began to know this song. But as you look back at this moment in his life, he writes this: this was the turning point in my whole life. The turning point in my life was coming to a deep recognition of what happened when Jesus came to earth. A deep recognition of him leaving his kingdom to come to us as a human. To be born in a manger, to leave the right hand of the Father, to be in our midst. This was his turning point. And so I look to today in our short time together, this leads to my question. Where are you in this story at Christmas season? Where are you today on the 22nd of December, 3 days before the big day? Where are you in this story? I know you know the story. I know you know the baby is coming. But have we grasped the magnitude? Have you grasped the magnitude of what we are celebrating here? Does it grab your heart? Does it still move you? Or maybe a bigger question for some, has it ever moved you? Has this story grabbed you and moved you this Christmas season? Has it caused a reaction from you? There was a guy in the Bible that I read, and a part of the story you've probably heard, but it's not usually the one, that maybe the most popular ones we read during Christmas season. There was a guy that had a reaction to the coming of Jesus, and I find it in Luke chapter 1, verse 39. Let me read it to you. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Listen to this. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among the women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her." Do you get what's happening? Mary, the mother of Jesus, goes and visits her cousin Elizabeth. She's going to visit her cousin Elizabeth. You remember this part of the Christmas story, right? She goes and visits, and so you can imagine her walking into the house, and she gives a greeting to Elizabeth. The moment her voice is heard, Elizabeth's baby, the baby that's inside of her, leaps with excitement. As soon as Elizabeth is in the presence of Mary and Jesus, the baby in Elizabeth leaps with joy. This is the response. This is the acknowledgement. Do you know who that baby was? Do you remember? Baby is John the Baptist. John the Baptist, the one we've talked about here in the last couple of months, the one that prepared the way for Jesus, the one that would tell the world, this is the one that's come, the one that just is known for being a little eclectic, you know, just like, who is it? He knew from the very beginning. Before John the Baptist was born, he knew the significance of this child that was about to be born, and his response was to leap with excitement. You see, the moment Ellie was born, I was excited. I had a cute one. I was a dad. My life was changed forever. I was in love with this child, and I still am today. But then I have to ask myself, though, do I have the same joy about this child that has come this Christmas season, reminded as I had with Ellie? Do I have the same joy for Jesus, the one who came to give me everything I've ever searched for, the one hope for my life, everything I've ever wanted? Do I have the same joy? See, if I'd really slow down, I would have to acknowledge that Ellie changed my life, but the moment of her birth still doesn't compare to the moment of Jesus coming. And do I take all of that in? It's easy for me to take it in when I've got this little baby girl that is mine, I can love, but do I really take in this story of Jesus' birth and his coming? Do I slow down? Have you slowed down? Have you taken moments to just take in what this means? Or have we just lived in our chaos? Have we lived in our to-do list? Have we lived in the food we've got to make and the plans we are making? Or have we slowed down and take in what this is? Last week I read about the shepherds. After the angels had spoke to them, they went to find Mary and Joseph. And they see everything they heard that they would see. And then they leave, and it gives us, and there's this quick little verse I want to read for you today in Luke chapter 2, verse 19. No, the shepherds have left. It says, But Mary treasured up all these things, and she pondered them in her heart. Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. She treasured up, she took time. She stepped back. She treasured all of it. She took it all in. The moment, her place in it, the bigger story, what it meant. It's a lot to look at and take in what this season is. But I think we need to be all need to be a little bit more like Mary. What I'm doing here is 3 days before Christmas, I want to tell you, can we pause for a second and be a little bit more like Mary? Can we ponder and take in everything that's happening so what it can produce is we can react a little bit more like John the Baptist? Can we pause before the presence gets here? Can we ponder this moment? Can we treasure all these things? Listen, I know right now as you're seating, there are things running through your head. I don't know why you're here this morning. This may be your church. You may be checking us out. You may be here for baby dedications. I don't know what you're here for, but we have a moment right now. We can take it all in. You can put away the hecticness. You can put away the list. Hear me. You can put away the phones. You can put away the pens and pencils. You can put away with what you're going to eat after church. You're going to put away what you have to do in the next 3 days. I need you to put away, and I need us to pause. We got to pause before the big day. Before I play a basketball game, high school, coach would come in and be like, okay, let's just pause for a second. Let's acknowledge what's about to happen. Let's take in this moment so you're ready to experience what's about to happen on that court. And this is a little pregame right here. Can we pause for a moment? In 3 days, you're going to experience the greatest thing that's ever happened to you in your life. You're going to experience all the hope you need in life. You're going to experience all the presence of anybody you'll ever need in life. You're going to experience the one who said, I'm going to leave the right hand of God, and I'm going to come in your midst, and I'm going to be everything you've ever looked for. But do we pause and take it in? So that's what I'm going to ask you to do. Can you put down your phones for a second? Can you put down your pencils? Can you put down anything that's in your hand? Can you put away the thoughts in your mind? Can you pause for a moment? Let's put a time out. I want you to close your eyes. Will you? Will you do this for me? I'm going to read something for you. I'm going to read Isaiah 9. The question is, what child is this? Close your eyes and take this in. I don't want this moment to pass. I want you to take all of this. Embrace this moment. I know you've got lots to do, but I want you to just realize all that we have. The baby has come into the scene, is about to. And I want you to be able to leap for excitement, because what child is this? Isaiah says it this way, for to us a child is born. To us a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor. Do you need that in your life right now? Mighty God, do you need that God right now? Everlasting Father, do you need that? The Prince of Peace, is this something you want? Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. I don't know where you are right now. Just take this moment in. Just be silent. Has the story of Jesus coming captivated your heart this Christmas? Has it got a hold of it? Has it ever, maybe you in this morning, you're just here because this is what you do at Christmas. God wants to let you know he has come for you, for you, for you. He wants you. He wants to be your peace. He wants to be your mighty God. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to be your everlasting Father. He has come. What child is this? This child is everything you've ever wanted. So may you not be satisfied with the presents. May you not be satisfied with your family. May you not be satisfied with the food. May you not be satisfied with the memories you make. May everything you want be found in him. He's come for you. God, today, we pause. Because God, I want us to leap with excitement the way John the Baptist does when we come in the presence of you. Thank you, God, that you sent your son Jesus to be our one and only hope for anything we want and need to accomplish in this world. You came to be our salvation. And God, if there's anybody in here today who's walked away from you, have never been in a relationship with you, God, I pray that they would see you as their salvation, that they put their hope in something else in this world. But God, you are their hope of salvation. And God, they can come to you by just saying, God, forgive me, I need you. Thank you for coming and thank you for dying for me. I want you to have my life. And others, God, we need you to come and be our peace. God, there is a chaos in people's souls in this room. And God, will you be our peace? God, for some, we just need you to be our father. Maybe you've had bad experiences with fathers. Maybe we've lost fathers. God, be our father. And God, will you be that mighty God you promised to be? In this Christmas season, will you change us? May this be a turning point as we look at you and say, you are the one we need over everything. So God, we pause in this moment before the big day and say, thank you, we love you. You're everything to us. It's your name we pray. Amen.